Welcome to the first edition of Mind Your Own Business. Today we're going to be dealing with the issue of licensing in the entertainment industry. And I have with me my very good friend, Kamau Amen. Hey, Kamau.
Hey, Simone. Thanks for inviting me on your brand new program. I mean, I'm really honored to be considered to be one of your earlier guests. So.
I look forward to Kamau is currently
sharing with you.
He's currently at Full Sail University up in Orlando, Florida, and he's getting his master's in entertainment business. So he's more than qualified to speak to this issue. And this is your pet peeve, right? Licensing.
Well, yes, I'm trying to focus more on it because it's an area that I really want to get further into, you know, the business of licensing and by extension, brand development. Because, you know, when you license a product, generally, the objective is to reach a wider market, which would suggest that you're trying to build out the product or build a brand. So, you know, the relationship with licensing and brand development is a very close one, and I'm really fascinated by it, and I'm hoping I can do my bit.
Okay,
at least for Jamaica and Jamaican product.
I think it's critical to have this discussion here on Mind Your Own Business. And remember, when we say mind your own business, we're talking about knowing what some of the key things that makes up your business as an artist, as a musician, as an industry person. And of course, licensing is one of the things. But come on, before we even dive into the real meat of it, tell me first, I think there's some confusion when you say licensing and when you say sponsorship for some people. So kind of clear that up. What exactly is licensing and how is it different from sponsorship?
Okay. Well, first of all, we're talking about intellectual property. That's the realm of the discussion. And whenever you begin to talk about anything regarding licensing, people really need to begin to think about intellectual property. Now, with licensing, what you do is you, the owner of the intellectual property, essentially enters into an agreement with another individual to exploit your intellectual property on your behalf. And what you would do is enter in, it's a contractual arrangement, but the contract is usually referred to as a license. So essentially, I would give you license to exploit my intellectual property for a specific period, and there are specific things that you can do with that intellectual property. So that would constitute me granting you a license. Now, with regards to a sponsorship is somewhat a different arrangement, because what would happen or what could happen, maybe I am putting on, you know, an event and I would want you as a sponsor. I would invite you to come in, charge you a fee, which would be the fee that I set for your partnering with my event or my activity as a sponsor. There is no exchange really of intellectual property in a sponsorship arrangement. All you're really doing is the second person who would be the sponsor would be partnering up with me to take advantage of my fame, perhaps, or whatever goodwill I have as the promoter of that particular event. That is how you have to view a sponsorship, which is just really a partnership in a sense, as opposed to a license, which, yes, it would be a partnership, but I am giving you the right to exploit my intellectual property. So I think those are some of the distinctions. Now, of course, in a sponsorship arrangement, I could give you the right, say you come in as a sponsor. So I'm putting on, you know, the next biggest dance party, and that's the name of my event, and you come in as a sponsor because you are Telecom Mobile. That's the name of your company. Yes, you, in a sponsorship arrangement, I could perhaps give you the right to make mention of my company in some kind of promotional activity that you as Telecom Mobile want to do. But that still does not go beyond the realm of a sponsorship arrangement.
But is it that what you're saying is in the realm of sponsorship, it's more just for that moment. If it's associated with an event or a product running an event, it's just for that moment. But with licensing, it's you're thinking more of an extended period.
Well, the period has, you can make reference to the period, but I think the critical thing, if nothing else you walk away with, is to understand that in a licensing arrangement, there is an allowance of you to take my intellectual property and use it in a specific way according to a contract that we have. If my contract allows you to do it for 3 years, you do it for 3 years over the specific territories, etc.
Okay, so licensing then basically takes place across four areas. You have the merchandising, music recording, publishing, live performance.
Well, I mean, those areas that you're referring to, some of them are more directly related to licensing as regards music. Licensing is pretty broad. I mean, one of the figures I've seen is where the income or the total market of licensing generally was quoted by the Global License magazine as being $192 billion. You know, in 1 year. So it's a huge industry. Now,
hold on, can you just repeat that?
$192 billion. This is what the Global License magazine, which is essentially a magazine that publishes a whole bunch of stuff about the licensing business globally. And they were saying, this was just April 2009, they released figures that the total market was about $192 billion for licensing. Now, the areas of licensing are pretty broad. Music is one of those areas, and digital media entertainment kind of all lumped into one as an area of licensing. There's consumer products licensing. So you think about some of the stuff you'll see in the supermarkets. A lot of those things are, consumer products. But then you have apparel and fashion as another area of licensing. Then you have art and design. So think about, you perhaps go into your haberdashery or where one of them stores where you can buy home products. You see china, you see teacups, etc. You see the artwork on those. A lot of those, the artwork that appears on maybe china or whatever, all these other products are licensed. Then you have sports licensing, and that's big. The athletes, the teams. The basketball league, the football league, NFL in the US, etc. You can get team apparel. All of these are sports. In the US, there's the category which is called collegiate, which is where the universities, you'll find a whole bunch of university apparel, and there are companies that specialize in making apparel and other merchandise. So,
as you mentioned that, you mentioned these areas come out, and I'm thinking the Caribbean is no different. Are we utilizing licensing, or are they utilizing licensing?
I don't think. I mean, to take it around to music, I don't think we're taking. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface, I think, as far as licensing is concerned in the Caribbean and in Jamaica in particular. I mean, part of the challenge you will find with licensing is going to be getting the products to market. Generally what you find with licensing is that a manufacturer who has the capacity to produce the products would go out and enter into licensing arrangements with any personality, any group, whoever, who he or she thinks would have a market. And so it's the machinery that would be needed to galvanize, to really go out and find the market and push the products out to this market that I don't think we have been paying much attention to. Perhaps it is that some of the business people are just not familiar with this as another mode of, exploring the opportunities for growth of their own businesses. So I think maybe in another couple of years, I think more and more people will be doing that. But you know, there are a few entities that take advantage of branding. I mean, well, and through licensing get their products out there. You know, you'll find a Red Stripe product, for example, as a Jamaican brand. You will find them pretty much widely spread out. Bob Marley is perhaps the most known of our music artists that, you know, has really gone full out in terms of the merchandising.
True.
You know, there are other I think artists who have tried on a smaller scale, but it hasn't really been pushed in a major way. And I think it's a good opportunity for us to diversify the revenue streams in the music business, particularly now when they have to find other sources of revenue just because of how the sales of the actual music itself goes.
Well,
so
there
are opportunities.
Talk a little bit about, I mean, an area that I know maybe a lot of my listeners are artists, musicians. But talk about the area of merchandising some more. What's probably the first step for an artist to when you're thinking about, you know, they've established their brand? Because mm-hmm. I think that's important as well. It's not just about, okay, well, I have two songs out, let me go and license my name to print on t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first step once they've established their brand to get into the area of licensing?
Well, and there are artists who have gone out and got stuff printed because they're going on the road.
Right.
And that's one thing. I mean, that's a specific purpose. That would not necessarily be a licensing arrangement because this is a straight order. You go out, find a printer and say, hey, I want X amount of shirts, and you know, you deliver them to me and my team will pretty much take over. I mean, if you are considering licensing, then you would want an arrangement with a printer who can also deliver deliver the product to the retail, because that's pretty much where, you know, where your sales going to happen. Either they're going to happen okay in a store, or they're going to happen at events. Depends on the marketing strategy that the distributor has, or they want to use an online strategy and get your product out there to your fans. So the first thing I think would be the artist has to decide, okay, what do I want for myself? And if the determination is that, okay, we're going to go the route of merchandise, then you probably want to meet with a printer or some producer who can give you the range of products that you want. Alternatively, if you can't, because there is a role in the licensing business for an agent.
Okay. Okay.
Generally speaking, most people go through a licensing agent, and essentially, yes, the licensing agent will take a percentage of the revenue that comes in. But for the work that the agent does, it would pretty much be worth it, because the agent in many ways is managing this process for you. You will have to decide. The agent takes on the role, for example, of planning a licensing program. So you, the artist, and your management team, okay, decides on, we're going to go forward with this project. You're going to have to put a licensing program together. What are the things you want to be included in this licensing program, over what period? Look at the different territories you're going to target with your product, and plan, you know, just how you're going to execute that strategy to actually achieve that over the period. And then once you have the program, you're going to need to execute. You're going to need to find printers who and other producers of products that would be interested in putting together, well, printing the products and getting them out there to market.
Okay.
Right?
So another side of it also is, say you are an established artist, or, you know, there is this buzz about, you know, a lot of dancehall artists with the different dances. There's, you know, they become phrases or something like that. Someone can approach you to print shirts, and then that's still licensing, but it's coming from a different angle, and that's still an opportunity for you to develop an alternative revenue stream, but you're doing less work.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a licensing arrangement that you enter into with that individual who expressed an interest to produce products based on something that you created out of your work.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, that, I think, would qualify.
Okay, but Kamau, I mean, I'm not sure, from based on your, you know, your experience and your interactions, and I guess I'm probably asking a rhetorical question.
Oh, but go ahead.
what's the feeling that you're getting from, you know, other individuals, your colleagues in your program, from, I guess they're from all over the world. What's the feeling? Is it the same thing that's happening, the same kind of environment in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, or do you find that we are that far behind?
No, well, coming here and interacting with the colleagues, as well as, you know, there are other people who I've met. You go out and you meet other people who are involved in the music business in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I think that by and large, there's obviously more knowledge in the U.S. Environment about how things operate in the music business. So, and there's definitely more of a business approach I've found in terms of, you know, how these people will approach the business of their music. People are very much up and up on the importance of merchandise, I find here. You know, when you talk about, you know, the moment you have a group and the moment you're going on the road and the moment you're performing, you know, you hear people starting to talk about merchandise. And the basic, the most basic merchandise they often have is, you know, t-shirts.
Yes.
And then they'll have posters.
Right.
I mean, that's the basic merchandise. So at least, you know, you find here that any artist that's heading out is going out there with some t-shirts and posters, at least for his fans. That is not necessarily something I see happening in the context of Jamaica. Certainly, I wasn't seeing that when I was there before coming here. So, I think that is something that we can adopt, and we can even take it further as, you know, thinking about reaching as wide an audience as we can reach with our product, you know, the whole, and creating a whole range is important for, I mean, and this discussion can go on about cultivating a fan base,
yeah.
Cultivating people who are really, who develop a relationship with you and your music.
Right.
And you, through that relationship, they will support you in pretty much buying your merchandise, buying your music, promoting your music. So, I mean, it's important to have that fan base. And once you have that fan base, you kind of create that community and use the merchandise, in a sense, to build that community among them.
That's
an important strategy.
You're absolutely right. And
we could pursue.
In yesteryears, where the artists were this, you know, they were this far off. You know, they're people, they're human beings, but, you know, they're not of this world. Those days are gone. You have to come back and take on really your human characteristics and become human and interact like a human to the regular Dick and Jane, who are the ones that you have to give them a reason to buy more than just your music or more than just that concert ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, in a sense, you're creating a whole experience for them.
Right.
You know, you mean more to them than the event.
Right.
That one occasion, and it's hard. It's not easy. But at the same time, I don't think artists need to be totally daunted by the challenge, because it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be, you know, I mean, I because of my focus, I look not only at just music, but I'm exposed to some of the strategies, you know, when you're marketing film, print publications, and the whole works, online marketing, internet marketing, and stuff like that. And one of the things I remember from a discussion I was hearing about marketing film, for example, you as an independent producer, it's the same principle. You as an artist, you have to be so involved not only in the creation but also in the marketing of yourself, and you have to become even so tech savvy, because the internet creates a whole nother set of opportunities for you as the artist. And you know, you can't necessarily just sit back and leave the interaction and the the experience that's created on the internet, the relationship that is built with people who are potential fans, or you know, just people who will become your market in the future. I mean, you really have to spend some time and work them. I mean, you know, converse, exchange, you share experiences with them, and you build a meaningful friendship with those people. It's something that you have to be engaged in fully. You can't just say, I'm one of the artists and I'm on just, you know, just sing my song and my marketing people will do them thing. Right. No.
Right.
You can't do that, you know. It's a situation where you have to be so involved. So, because people want to know you.
Right. You're absolutely right. And you know, once you get that down, once you get that down, you have the market that you've developed, and you can look at licensing as a way to put money in your pocket.
To put money in your pocket, you know? And I mean, you never know where licensing can go, because you might start off just licensing, you know, your image or whatever for maybe just t-shirts or whatever, but you'd be surprised, it may grow into a whole nother business for you. Who knows? After music, it could become your life. It could become your primary earner.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So, you never know.
Well, Kamau, it has been a very interesting conversation, as usual, I must say. And we have to part now, but I'd like you to... I know you recently started blogging about issues similar to what we've been talking about. So, if you could just remind us of your blog URL.
Well, my blog is simple. entertainmenteconomy.blogspot.com.
Great. And I will always be checking up on your posts and, you know, leaving my 2 cents. But thanks again for giving us this very valuable information about licensing. Thanks for the conversation. And thank you all for tuning in to the very first edition of Minding Your Own Business. I hope you found this information very valuable. And thank you again, Kamau.